पश्योत्पातान् नरा व्याघ्र दिव्यान् भौमान् सदैहिकान् दारुणान् संशतो दूरात् भयं नो बुद्धिमोहनम् पश्योत्पातान् नरव्याघ्र दिव्यान् भौमान् सदैहिकान् दारुणान् संशतो दूरात् भयं नो बुद्धिमोहनम् पश्योत्पातान् नरव्याघ्र दिव्यान् भौमान् सदैहिकान् दारुणान् संशतो दूरात् भयं नो बुद्धिमोहनम् Mataji's translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Just see, O man, with the tiger's strength, how many miseries due to celestial influences, earthly reactions, and bodily pains are very dangerous in themselves. All very dangerous in themselves are foreboding danger in the near future by deluding our intelligence. Purport: Material advancement of civilization means advancement of the reactions of the threefold miseries due to the celestial influence, earthly reaction, and bodily or mental pains. By the celestial influence of the stars, there are many calamities like excessive heat, cold, rains, or no rains, and the after effects are famine, disease, and epidemic. The aggregate result is agony of the body and the mind. Man-made material science cannot do anything to counteract these threefold miseries. They are all punishments from the superior energy of Maya under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, our constant touch with the Lord by devotional service can give us relief without our being disturbed in the discharge of our human duties. The asuras, however, who do not believe in the existence of God, make their own plans to counteract all these threefold miseries, and so they meet with failures every time. The Bhagavad Gita 7.14 clearly states that the reaction of material energy is never to be conquered because of the binding effects of the three modes. They can simply be overcome by one who surrenders fully in devotion under the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam वंदे अहम श्री गुरो श्री युता पदकमलम श्री गुरुम वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारिणं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं परमानन्दमाधवम् Hare Krishna. Translation once again. Just see, O man with the tiger's strength, how many miseries due to celestial influences, earthly reactions and bodily pains are all very dangerous in themselves, are foreboding danger in the near future by deluding our intelligence. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the devotees so that I can speak something worthwhile on this very, very important and very, very instructive subject that's being discussed here in the 14th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here Yudhishthir Maharaj is referring Bhimsen as Naravyagraha, or one who is having the strength like that of a tiger, or one who is tiger amongst men. Even in Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Lord Krishna addresses Arjuna as Purusha Vyakra. Nishchayam shrunume tatra tyage bharata sattama tyagohi Purusha Vyakra trivida samprakirtitaha. Lord Krishna, when he is explaining to Arjuna what exactly tyag means, Lord Krishna is telling to Arjuna that actually, for someone like you, who is tiger amongst men, can truly understand what real renunciation means. Renunciation cannot be understood or applied by anyone or everyone, but someone who is like, who has that strength, not just the physical strength, but the mental fortitude, can truly understand and apply the principles of renunciation. So this verse truly reveals the realistic nature of this material world that we all live in. Although Bhima is referred here as tiger amongst men, and no doubt he is very strong person, but just because someone is strong doesn't mean that life is going to be so rosy, cozy or easy for him or her. But Bhagavatam is stating here that it's not only the weakest who actually suffer in this world. Even the strongest are not spared. Even the strongest have to undergo a lot of challenges, you know, in one's life. Many a times we have this wrong conception that people who are strong, people who are beautiful, people who are knowledgeable, people who have power, their life is far more better off than someone who doesn't have the beauty, knowledge or probably any other opulences. But that's not the case. Even the best of the celebrities that we see in this world, no, they have to undergo miseries in their lives. In fact, many a times their life is far more miserable, no, than the people who are living a normal life. And it's not that the people there on the top, they have a gala time all the time. No. Yudhishthir Maharaj here, although referring Bhima as Naravyagra, he actually wants to convey that even the greatest misfortune, inauspiciousness, sufferings and miseries will strike in the lives of those who have power and who have control. It's just that the people there on the top, they may not show up that they are also undergoing difficulties or miseries in their life. They may very well try to cover it up, or they may try to patch up. Someone asked a clown or a joker, "Why do you wear a mask?" This clown gave a beautiful reply. He said, "Everyone wears a mask, but only mine is visible." So people in this world, no, they carry a facade, and they show to the world that they are happy, but they also have to undergo a lot. That's why it is said that sometimes tears are the sign of unspoken happiness. Tears are the sign of unspoken happiness, and smile is many times the sign of silent pain. People may be going through a lot of pain, but through their smile, they actually don't show up. But in the hearts of their hearts, deep within, no, their hearts are crying. So they may have a smiling faces, but crying hearts. And one more thing that we can learn here is tiger is one of the strongest animals that we see in the forest. Not only strongest, but also fearsome. And everyone in the jungle, they actually fear this ferocious animal. But even tiger has to make a severe attempt, you know, to make his living. In a way, you know, tiger also has to undergo challenges. No, as they say, I think Niti Shastra says, nahi simhas, nahi suptasya simhasya praveshanti mukhe mrigaha. It's not that because lion is the king of the jungle, so automatically everything, all the animals will jump into lion's mouth automatically. No, even the lion has to, no, make that intense effort to survive in this world. So whether someone is Purusha Vyagra or someone is Purushajam, no, Purushajam means a male goat. So someone who is a tiger amongst men or someone who is a goat amongst men, no, everyone has to undergo challenges, struggles, maybe of different flavors and different degrees. But Bhagavatam again and again repeatedly instructs us that bigger the challenge, greater the opportunity to grow. We just yesterday celebrated New Year's. That was, we all celebrated New Year's yesterday. And New Year is the first day, New Year is also the day when we celebrate Govardhan Puja. So Govardhan Puja happens to be the first day for the Brajavasis as for celebrating their New Year. And generally on the day of New Year, we pray for, you know, a life which is full of prosperity and a wonderful year ahead. But in the life of Brajavasis, the first day of the New Year turned into a major crisis, where, you know, Indra, you know, he showered torrents of rains, and the calamities and the crises that never occurred in Vrindavan, you know, the Brajavasis had to go through. So no doubt we have begun the New Year, but we just cannot expect New Year to be free of challenges, because every year comes up, or every day will bring a new challenge and a new crisis in anyone and everyone's life. So this is what Krishna is teaching us through Govardhan Leela, that don't just expect an easy pathway. On your journey, you will come across a lot of challenges. That's why it is said that challenges are like waves in the ocean. Challenges are like waves in the ocean, just as waves in the ocean keeps coming, charging, but at the same time, they keep receding as well. The waves, they come and they go. Similarly, the challenges, they will keep coming, charging towards us, but at the same time, if we take shelter of Krishna, those challenges will slowly but surely and eventually recede. That's why, be a challenger and challenge the challenges to stay afloat. Otherwise, the challenges will challenge us to drown. So naturally, we all have no other choice but to face the challenges. And it is only during this challenging time that our real face is revealed. It's not when we take selfie that our true looks or our true picture is revealed. But it's the challenging situation which truly reveals our actual face, our actual picture. You know, the X-ray film may reveal the inner physical structure. The X-ray may reveal the inner physical structure, but someone who is betrayed but still prays in the challenging situation, that will reveal the inner psychological structure. So what truly decides, whether we have succeeded or failed during challenges, is how we stay strong during those challenges, and that will truly reveal our mindset. And the interesting part that we see here in Mahabharata and in Bhagavatam is that the Kauravas were the closest relatives to the Pandavas. Both the Kauravas and the Pandavas, they were raised under the guidance of Bhishma Pitama. They were all raised under one banner or in the one kingdom. They all went together in one Gurukul. They all studied under one Guru, Dronacharya. But we see here that the Kauravas or Duryodhan and his party, they tried terminating the lives of Pandavas again and again. So someone who is so close to us, when they betray us, when they cheat us, when they try to harm us, that causes us more pain than someone who is actually our enemy. And here we see in case of Pandavas, Kauravas were the closest relative, but it's their own relative, their closed ones, who are causing so much harm, and that's far more hurting and painful. रोग अपने देह में या रोग अपने शरीर में ही पैदा होकर भी हानि पहुंचाता है. व्याधि अपने शरीर में ही पैदा होकर हमें ही हानि पहुंचाता है. और एक औषध होती है, औषध वन में पैदा होकर हमारा लाभ ही करती है. सो समवन which is born within causes maximum damage, and someone who is born somewhere in the forest, in the remote place, may be beneficial. Therefore it is said that heat chahne wala paraya bhi apna hota hai, aur ahit chahne wala अपना भी या अहित करने वाला अपना भी पराया होता है और हित चाहने वाला पराया भी अपना होता है. So this is what we see here in case of the Pandavas, where someone who is closed is harming them, hurting them. But someone, no, Lord Krishna is not from Kuru dynasty, he is from the Yadu dynasty. But the pariah also becomes apna for the Pandavas when Lord Krishna is there for Pandavas at all the times. So Pandavas in their entire lifespan underwent a lot of inauspicious movement. Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanat Asat Sabhayam Vanavasakrichata Mride Mride Neka Maharatasrato Droniyasratas Chasmahare Abhirakshitaha. So many Utpat. Here this verse speaks about a lot of disturbances, Utpat. Not only disturbances but Bhishan or dangerous Utpat or dangerous disturbances. So many dangerous disturbances that hit the life of the Pandavas, and above that, those disturbances actually were Buddhi Mohanam. They were quite bewildering. When Pandavas underwent disturbances in their life, those disturbances were quite bewildering. But never ever Pandavas, they ask that why this is happening to me, or never ever they considered those inauspicious moment to be inauspicious, because they knew that Krishna is there along with them. So for them, none of those dangerous disturbances were as disturbing as the impending dangers due to the disappearance of Lord Krishna. So Yudhishthir Maharaj never ever before, he is saying that why so much or so many inauspicious omens are prevailing in our life, because of which we are undergoing so much. But now that when Lord Krishna is about to depart, or he has departed or disappeared from this world, Yudhishthir Maharaj is seeing everything around as inauspicious and an impending adversity. So a wonderful instruction, a wonderful lesson that we can learn here is, for the pure devotee of the Lord, real inauspiciousness is not the presence or influence of any bad element. But real inauspiciousness is the absence of all auspicious, that is Lord Krishna. So it's not the presence of bad omens or bad moment, but it's the absence of Lord Krishna in their life. And that's what they consider to be real inauspicious moment. Just as the real problem in any diseased condition is not just the presence of infection, but it's more the absence of the immune system or immune power to resist that infection. No doubt, at the superficial level, their infection will definitely have its effect. But more than the infection, it's the low immunity. That's the cause of infection entering into the body. Just as tubercular bacilli, which causes cox or which causes tuberculosis, is present everywhere in the environment. But only those who have a low immune system will become susceptible to cox. Similarly, here the real inauspiciousness is not the presence of a bad element in the life of a devotee, but real inauspiciousness is the absence of the all auspicious Lord Krishna. So a seeker or a devotee knows very well that all the inauspiciousness roots from the root cause, and that root cause is the absence of Krishna in our hearts. And that's far more inauspicious than having any other inauspiciousness in our life. So for pure devotees of the Lord, auspicious is inauspicious in the absence of Krishna. But even inauspicious is auspicious in the presence of Krishna. Jiske paas Rab hai, uske paas sab hai. As they say, if you have God with you, you have everything. And that's what Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the Pandavas, they exemplify here, because they had Krishna in their lives. So those difficult moments did not appear to be inauspicious in compare to now those inauspicious omens being seen here in the absence of Lord Krishna. So a devotee knows very well that if I don't have Krishna in my life, if I have everything except Krishna, no, I don't have anything. And if I don't have everything but if I have Krishna, no, or if I don't have anything but I have Krishna, I have everything. One time one of the sannyas disciples of Srila Prabhupada was undergoing a lot of challenges in his life, and he came and approached Srila Prabhupada, paid his obeisances. Prabhupada was actually very angry. Prabhupada just pounced upon him, and Prabhupada said, "What is this? Why have you left? Why are you dressed in a non-devotional attire?" Prabhupada for 20 minutes interrogated him left, right, center. And this disciple was sweating, he was crying, he was quite upset, he was confused, he was in a dilemma, because he did not have any answer to give to Srila Prabhupada. So he just stood there in front of his god brothers. Prabhupada was there, and many of his this devotees, god brothers, were also there. So it was quite an embarrassing situation for him. But then Prabhupada told him one thing. Prabhupada turned to him and then he said, "I want to know one thing before I send you out of here. I just want to know one thing from here. I want to know one thing from you. Do you still love Krishna? Do you still believe in Krishna?" And this devotee, with tears in his eyes, he said, "Yes, Swamiji." Prabhupada said, "The case is adjourned. No worries. Don't worry, everything will be all right." And then Prabhupada turned towards other sannyas disciples, and Prabhupada started chastising them left, right, centered. And Prabhupada said, "This is disgusting. This is not how a Vaishnavas behave." So all these sannyas disciples, they thought that Prabhupada is actually talking about the devotee who underwent a lot of difficulties. But Prabhupada was actually telling to these sannyas disciples, Prabhupada was telling that this is not how a Vaishnava behave. You all knew very well that this devotee was undergoing so many challenges, difficulties in his life. He was actually in Maya. But you all ignored him. That is not a Vaishnava behavior. A true Vaishnava, he said, would have taken him by his hand earlier, so that this day would have never come in the life of this devotee. So Prabhupada knew that if yena kena prakarena, if we have Krishna, even if we may have our baggages of conditionings, our shortcomings, our limitation, if we somehow or other latch on, hook on, stay hooked on to the process of Krishna consciousness, kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati. So Prabhupada, he knew that no doubt, in spite of our shortcomings, all that we need to have in our life more than anything else is Krishna. So a pure devotee is convinced of this fact, that real problem or real inauspiciousness is the absence of Krishna in our life. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was speaking to Srila Prabhupada for the first time, that was his message to Srila Prabhupada, that the only thing that's lacking in this world is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was giving a talk in Mumbai in the year 1971, and in his talk, Prabhupada was speaking on Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada is telling in his talk that all the preachers in the Krishna consciousness movement are Mahabaho. So Krishna is referring to Arjuna as Mahabaho on various occasions in Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada is telling that all the preachers of Krishna consciousness movement are Mahabaho. They are strongly armed by the weapon of Krishna by the weapon of Harinam. So they can never be defeated. They will push on and fight with Maya, which is the strongest enemy or a barrier in a life of a devotee. So Prabhupada, he's telling that for a devotee, the only formidable weapon that we have to fight against the illusory nature or illusory energy is the holy name and the holy Sangha. And then Prabhupada mentions in the purport, Prabhupada mentions in his class that actually Nityanand Prabhu is one such fighter who went and fought against Jagai and Madhai. So a devotee declares a war against Maya with this one weapon of the holy name. And when a devotee emerges victorious, that's the time when the whole world will become peaceful. So if we have everything minus Krishna, we end up having nothing. So this is what a devotee is convinced. And this is the only fear that a devotee carries within one's heart. Devotee doesn't have the fear of losing one's own life or losing one's position in the society or any prestige in the society. Devotee's greatest fear is they may forget to carry the weapon of Krishna, weapon of the holy name. They may forget remembering Krishna. Mukunda murdna pranipatya yache bhavantame kantam yantam artham avismritistvat charanaravinde bhave bhave mestu bhavat prasadat. King Kulshekhar is praying to Lord Krishna that, my dear Lord, this is my only fervent prayer at your lotus feet. Avismritistvat charanaravinde bhave bhave mestu bhavat prasadat. My dear Lord, let me never forget to take shelter of your lotus feet, your holy name, birth after birth. So a devotee thinks that what is the point, what is the use of performing tapasya if at the end of the day Krishna is not pleased. Aradhito yadi hari tapasah tatha kim, na aradhito hari yadi hari tapasah tatha kim. 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj is praying, what is the use, what is the point of being born in a high class or first class Brahmana family but devoid of devotion to Lord Krishna? Dvishad gunayutad aravinda nabhad pada aravinda vimukhat swapacham varishtam manye tadarpita mano vachane hitartha pranam punati sakulam natu bhuri manah. Viprad dvishad gunayutad, the brahmana who has all the 12 qualities but is not a devotee is far more lower than someone who is swapacha, born in a dogita family. So devotee doesn't see the externals, but sees the right intent, you know, within, whether someone has true devotion or not. Bhagavatam comes up again and again with this theme. The first canto repeatedly says, what is the use of having, of wearing a huge helmet, a crown or a turban which does not bow down? What is the use of that head? That turban simply remains a burden. Bharam param patta kirita justam api uttamangam naname mukandam savo karo na krute saparyan harer lasat kanchana kankanova. No, that turban is simply a heavy burden. What is the use of having beautifully developed eyes, hands, legs, ears? Barhayate te nayane naranam lingane vishno na didrikshato ye bile bator uru vikramanye na shunvata karna pute narasya jivva sati darduri keva sutra na chopagayata urugaya gatha. So these verses, they actually echo one theme, that is, no, absence of Krishna, no, means our life is dead. The other day, Braj Bihari Prabhu was, no, he shared this beautiful words, Bhagavad Bhakti Dhinasya Jati Shastra Japastapa Apranasya Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. So this theme which Bhagavatam shares, we see this theme also in Ramayana. Bharat Maharaj, or Bharat, no, he did not want to stay in Ayodhya, which was devoid of Lord Ram's presence. When Bharat met his mother Kaikeyi, and mother told what exactly transpired, Bharat, in that angry mood, is telling to his mother that I died the very moment you revealed this hellish events that took place in Ayodhya. And if I am dead, how can a dead body rule a kingdom? Not only that, how can a dead person, or dead person can't take up any responsibility? A dead man cannot enjoy any facility. Do not expect me to take up responsibility, or do not expect to take up to this throne without Lord Ram's presence. I cannot enjoy any of the facility that comes along with the position. And then Bharat tells his mother that only a fool will cut down the root of the trees and try to water the leaves. Only a fool will remove all the water from the pond and would expect the fishes to survive. Bharat tells to his mother, my dear mother, I am like that leaf. I am like that leaf and I am like that fish. That leaf is disconnected from its root in the form of Lord Ram's presence, and that fish is completely out of water. How much ever water you try to put on the leaf or that fish cannot be revived back. And then Bharat goes on to say that I need the natural cooling environment of Lord Ram's presence in my life to survive the harsh heat of this material world. So this is one example that we see where Bharat had everything, but he did not have Lord Ram. and he considered everything else to be shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahe name. Everything, you know, this entire world was dreary void. On the other hand, we see one more example when Lord is present and nothing is there in the life of devotee, but devotee considers that to be everything. We see in Chaitanya Leela, the pastime of Srivas Thakur. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing Harinam Kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur every single night, one night, all of a sudden, to everyone's surprise, the one and only one son of Srivas Thakur died. And and the ladies in the chambers, they were mourning. They were lamenting. Srivas Thakur ran into the inner chambers and told these ladies not to lament. And Srivas Thakur told them what the spiritual truth is. But these ladies, they did not stop lamenting. And then finally Srivas Thakur had to tell them that if you won't stop crying, I will drown myself in Ganges. At that point of time, these ladies, they stopped. And then Srivas Thakur, you know, came and joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the kirtan. For hours together, no one even realized that the boy had departed. After a few hours, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came up with this query that I am not experiencing bliss. Is there something inauspicious that has happened here? And that point of time, one of the devotees, he said that the son of Srivas Thakur has expired. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with tears in his eyes, is questioning Srivas Thakur, my dear Srivas, why didn't you tell me before that your son has left? And at that point of time, Srivas, he tells that, my dear Lord, I may get son, I may get a daughter, father or a mother in every birth, but I will not get you, my Lord, in every birth. So this life is very, very important. So why should I misuse it? Why should I not use this opportune moment? So that's the reason I did not want to disturb the chanting of the holy names. So Srivas Thakur's son died while the kirtan was going on, but Srivas Thakur did not consider that to be an inauspicious moment. For him, disturbing Lord Chaitanya while he was doing kirtan was far more painful than losing his own son. One of the acharyas in the Gaudiya Math was glorifying His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. His Holiness Bhakti Nirmal Acharya Maharaj, he was sharing that Srila Prabhupada was the first one who went to Russia to preach. And the amount of impact that Prabhupada created, even in the communist regime, communist country like Russia, is something unprecedented. And he was sharing one pastime that during the communist regime, so many people, they took up to Krishna consciousness. There was one lady who took up to the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but then she was put behind the bars. And at that time, she was pregnant. She was carrying a baby within her womb. And she was being threatened again and again that if you continue to do this kirtan, then we will kill the baby within your womb. But then finally, they didn't kill. But when the baby was born, it was a baby boy, and this mother, she constantly kept chanting the holy names. So at that point of time, this KBC agent, they came and they kept their foot
on the head of this baby and they said, "Mother, if you won't stop chanting, if you won't stop murmuring this mantra, we will kill your baby right away." Who is saying this? This sannyasi from the Gaudiya Math was sharing this pastime. And then he shared something very unusual. The mother, when she was threatened, mother said that now that you are wanting to kill this baby, I will chant even louder. Why? Because this baby will be so fortunate to listen to the holy name before departing from this world. This baby may grow up to become a big scholar, but what if this baby grows up to become a big man but fails to chant the holy names and dies? So it is better to die now when this baby is remembering or hearing the holy name than that inauspicious moment when the baby dies without chanting the holy name. Now, this may appear to be very rude or very, very unusual or cruel on the part of the mother to do so. But the point that I'm trying to draw is the amount of faith that Prabhupada instilled in the life of these people, that they did not want to stop chanting, even if inauspicious moment would come into their lives. So this, of course, this is a very extreme example that we see, but this is an example for us to take inspiration, where we may not have to go through such extremes. How much we should be eager to chant when we have the opportune moment to chant. Tyajantu bandhava sarve nindantu gurava jana tathapi paramanando govinda mama jivana. King Kulashekar is saying, Tyajantu bandhava sarve, let my relatives abandon me, Nindantu Guravo Jano, let my superiors, they chastise, they ridicule me. Tathapi Paramananda Govinda Mama Jivana. Come what may, hell or high, I will not give up serving Krishna under any cost. That's what is the mood of Haridas Thakur. Khanda khanda hoi, deha yadi jaya prana, tabu ami vadane na chadi harinam. Haridas Thakur is telling, you may cut my body into thousands of pieces, let my body be crushed into pieces, whatever may be, I will never give up this holy name. Kunti Devi is saying, my dear Lord, Neham shobishyate tatra yate dani gadadara tvat pader ankitavadi swalakshana vilakshate. My dear Lord, this entire Hastinapur is flourishing only because of your presence. Without your presence, this Hastinapur will turn into a desert. So, yes, these different personalities that we see, that we get to see in Ramayana, in Mahabharata or in Bhagavatam, they don't want to trade anything in exchange of Krishna. So there is someone who is willing to give up loglajja for the pleasure of Krishna. They are gopis. There is someone who is willing to give up one's own eyesight in trying to establish Lord Krishna as supreme, that is Kuresh, the disciple of Ramanujacharya. There is someone who doesn't want to stop chanting in spite of being threatened to be killed, that is Haridas Thakur. There is someone who is being threatened by giving poison when that personality was not giving up bhakti unto Lord Krishna, that is Mirabai. And there is someone who did not want to give up performing Govardhan Parikrama even at a very old age, and that is Sanatan Goswami. And someone who is even willing to give up one's own relatives in spite of so many obstacles that comes, and that is Bali Maharaj. So yes, we cannot forget the sacrifice of Srila Prabhupada. No, someone who is willing to take that risk of going to a foreign land, even at that age, with such severe health crisis. And someone who is willing to give up one's career and renounce the world. Yad anucharita leela karna piyusha viprat sakrut adana viduta dvanda dharma vinasta sapadi griha kutumbam dina mutsrijya dina bahava ihapak iva vihanga bhikshu charyam charanti. This is the prayer that's offered by gopis. Gopis are telling, my dear Lord, the only result that is going to follow when someone surrenders unto you, no, they actually become completely detached. Bhakti pareshano bhava viraktir anyatra cha. They become detached to such an extent that they actually become bhikshu. And they travel to Vrindavan to wander, no, just like birds, no, who keep searching for food. The devotees, they keep searching for Krishna. So this is true sacrifice. And this is what we have heard, that life of sacrifice is far more glorious than sacrificing one's life. So just to conclude, there's this this famous personality called Maharana Pratap, no, who had this famous horse, no, whose name was Chetak. In the battle against the Mughals, the battle of Haldi Ghati that took place in the 15th or 16th century, it is explained that Maharana Pratap had to escape from that battlefield. And it was this Chetak who drove Maharana Pratap away from the battlefield very far. But the same Chetak, while fighting, one of the rare legs of this Chetak was severely wounded by the tusk of an elephant. But in spite of that situation, this Chetak drove, his master Maharana Pratap for 5 kilometers. And at one junction, there was one canal which this Chetak had to jump, or he had to cross. This canal was 22 feet wide. And Chetak, even in that situation, he jumped 22 feet and crossed that canal. And that's the time when he collapsed and he died. And then Maharana Pratap, he was so obliged, with the sacrifice of this horse, that he, he commemorated and this smarak, in the name of this Chetak. And even today, if you go to Haldi Ghati, there is this place where this Chetak, left his body. So if an ordinary personalities of this world, when they sacrifice something for the pleasure of Lord, when they sacrifice, for their master, naturally Krishna is a grateful God. Krishna is that wonderful master who will definitely reciprocate, far more when he sees that devotees prioritize nothing else but Krishna in their life. So devotees don't mind disappearing from this world in the service of Krishna, but they can't see Krishna disappearing from their lives. This is the conviction that devotee has. They don't mind giving up their lives. They don't mind disappearing from this world while serving Krishna, but they can't see Krishna disappearing from their lives. Twameva yache mamaje mamadehi jive samagate dandhare kritante Vaktavyamevam maduram subhaktya govindadamo dharmadhame dharm govindadamo dharmadhaveti. This is the one prayer that Bilwa Mangal Thakur is offering to Krishna. My dear Lord, when the death comes, when the time comes for me to depart, tvameva yache mama dehi jivve, let my tongue constantly vaktavyamevam maduram subhaktya, let my tongue constantly chant and not forget to call out for the names of Govinda, Damodar and Madhava. This is the month of Kartik and this is the prayer that we should be offering to Radha Damodar, that let challenges keep coming in our life, but let us continue to be there every Kartik to offer lamp to their lordships for their pleasure. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.